Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, saying, Because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Matthew 20, 29 through 34. Our subject comes from the words of the blind men. We have recorded for us one of the many miracles of our Lord. But in addition to the miracle, we have an excellent example set before us by the blind men when they make their request for assistance from Christ. We need to understand why Christ performed miracles. It was in order to convince people that he was the Christ. John 20, 30 and 31 we read, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Miracles, you see, were performed for the purpose of confirming and proving and verifying the word that was preached. In Mark 16 and verse 20, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In Hebrews 2, 3 and 4, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Notice how. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles, the gift of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now these are the reasons miracles were performed. We now, friend, have the inspired record of these things to show us that Jesus is the Christ. There no longer exists the need for miracles. For faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And the word tells us of these verified miracles. The word, once confirmed, obviously does not need further evidence. In addition, Paul told the Corinthians that these miraculous gifts would cease, 1 Corinthians 13. And to expect miracles to prove anything today is to cast reflection on the all-sufficiency and the confirmation of the inspired written word of God. But let us turn our attention, however, to five things about these blind men and the event of their receiving sight, and let's learn lessons from it that can be helpful to us if we would only imitate them in principle. First, they recognize their need, and they recognize the power of Christ to provide what they needed. Second, they earnestly desired to see, even in the face of rebuke and opposition. And third, they kept pleading until Jesus had healed them. They did not quit. And fourth, Jesus opened their eyes because he had compassion on them. And fifth, they followed him after their eyes were opened. And while their blindness was physical, friend, the worst blindness of all is spiritual blindness. What they did to receive their physical sight, we can do, in principle, in order to have our spiritual sight. As Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 and verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. We, friend, must recognize our need of spiritual sight. We must respect the power of Christ to provide spiritual healing. We, like the blind men, must accept the fact that we stand in need of spiritual healing. No person will come to Christ until he realizes the need to do so. Once we are aware of that need, then we simply have to determine to whom we should appeal. In John 6 and verse 68, Peter once asked the question, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Friend, Christ is the author of salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. He's the only way to God, John 14, 6. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. All power and authority belongs to Christ, Matthew 28, 18. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, Hebrews 10 and verse 10. There once was a time when men offered animal sacrifices, but they were incapable of removing sins, Hebrews 10 and verse 4. But such sacrifices had to be offered year by year repeatedly. If they could have been sufficient for sin, well, they would not have been offered continually. But Christ was offered only once, Hebrews 9 and verse 28. And just as he was able to give blind men their sight, he and he alone could come to this earth and provide for the forgiveness of sins. We simply must accept that fact. As they face some opposition in their quest for sight, we may well face opposition in our search for salvation. The blindest of all are those who do not want to see. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I shall heal them." Matthew 13, 14, verse 15. People with a closed mind, they do not really want the truth. They're so content and satisfied as they are, they will not give a moment to questioning what they say they believe. How can a person be brought from error to truth when they care no more for truth than that? We're exhorted to have a desire for the Word of God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." The Ethiopian of Acts chapter 8 had a desire to know the truth, and that's why he invited Philip to teach. The Jews on Pentecost, they wanted to know what they must do. The Philippian jailer obviously sought the truth when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus taught, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," Matthew 5 and verse 6. And again he said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. And knock and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew 7, 7. Sometimes people study and they listen, not because they really want to know the truth, but because they want to defend something they've already decided to believe. They study hoping to find somebody maybe at fault, or they study because they want to prove their own opinions to be right. They may just want knowledge for knowledge's sake. The way of Christ, friend, is not designed to be forced upon people. There must be a desire to learn the truth and to do the truth. Many people have had to overcome various kinds of rebuke and opposition as they sought the favors of the Lord. There are always those who would discourage a person from crying unto God. It can come from families and friends and associates. It may stem from our own prejudices and indifference. Would it not have been a tragedy if the blind men had given heed to the discouraging words of those who advised them to be quiet and to have discontinued their efforts to be healed by Jesus? But just as the blind men kept pleading, we cannot be content until we know that we know. And friend, we can know. This is the reason God has given us His Word, that we might know the truth and be free from that which enslaves us. "Ye shall know the truth. The truth will make you free." John 8:32. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and His strength. seek his face continually. We once heard of a person who had been a member of four different denominations. But as he studied and learned, he abandoned them one by one, knowing that they were not what the New Testament presented as the church of the Lord. And eventually he learned, and he believed, and he obeyed the truth. He simply would not quit in his search for what the Bible teaches. None of us will ever understand the depth of the knowledge of God. It's beyond our capacity. But those things that we must know and must do to be saved are within our reach. And we cannot content ourselves and quit searching. Once we have found the truth, we should hold to it. We'll find that truth in the Bible, the Word of God. If the blind men had ceased their cries, they would have continued in darkness. And if we cease trying to find out the truth and finding it and do not obey it, then we will live life in spiritual darkness and be lost forever. And we take note that Jesus, out of compassion, healed them because of the pleading of the men. Did he do this because they were deserving? Did he owe it to them? Was he paying a debt back to them? No, on all counts. Out of compassion he healed them. And friend, it is because Jesus Christ had compassion on sinful man that he came to this earth and fulfilled his mission of dying on the cross that we might be saved. He understands the trials and temptations of man. He's sympathetic. Yet he demands that we obey his will. He has lovingly, graciously, mercifully provided for mankind. He reaches toward our hearts with the gospel. By his word, he leads us toward obedience and toward salvation. You see, he came to seek and to save, not primarily to destroy and punish. And if we will not shut him out, if we will direct our appeals toward him according to his will, he will save us, just as he healed the blind man. And after sight was given to these men, they followed Christ. And friend, when we're washed clean by his blood, when we're baptized, we are to follow him also throughout all the days of our life. The way we show our gratitude toward God and Christ for that which has been done on our behalf is to give our lives as a living sacrifice to the service of God through Christ. And this is done by following him in life. To follow the footsteps of Jesus, this will lead us to eternal glory. And so may our prayer be, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. May we be willing to cry unto thee, recognizing our need of thee as the only provider of salvation. May we continue to seek thee and to follow thee all the days of our lives, that we may live with thee forever and ever in heaven. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.